The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Today with Roman Harper, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, and we're going to get right to it. We got our next guest is Philip Duke from Philip Duke's apology. Sir, apologize, my guy, with On3, and you are a national recruiting reporter, and you are fresh off a visit, or did you go see down at Auburn at the plane? So what were your first impressions? Tell me and inform our guest what you see, what you notice. Tell me, what are you feeling from the plains of Auburn right now?
Right now on the plains, there's a lot of good energy. Yes. It feels really similar to what you saw at Big Cat Weekend last year, mm-hmm. where the highly rated recruit Perry Thompson flipped from Alabama to Auburn. Now it's not just for Big Cat. It's almost like every day there's a energy around Auburn that feels like they can be one of those top schools, top teams. And I think that is palpable. And if they can continue to keep that energy where it is, then they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future.
Now, we always say energy. Is it coach-led? Because there's different ways to get the energy. Or is it just the fact that everybody's excited? Is it coach-led? Is it player-led? Is it just everybody's excited because there's something new, something fresh? They have new coordinators over there in the building. What is this sense of energy? Like, where is it coming from? Because I know it wasn't because they didn't get enough wins that they got last year. It's got to be something. Is it the recruiting trail? Tell me what that is, Philip.
I think it's a mix, a really good blend of high-level recruiting. Yep. When you look at landing the number one player in Alabama in Cam Coleman, who now is on campus and has been practicing, and he is 1,000% as advertised. Mm-hmm. You get a guy like that on campus, and you mix him in with guys who have already bought into the Auburn culture. Now, when you think about the Auburn culture, you've got to start with the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. You look at a guy like Hugh Freeze, who's been successful everywhere he's been, who's recruited well everywhere he's been, and now, I mean, you hate to say it, but the guy up the road in Tuscaloosa isn't there anymore. And Auburn was this close to knocking them off last year, even when he was there. So by being able to build on that, there is a sense of hope and optimism when it comes to Auburn getting back to the times where they were the top dog in Alabama in the early 2000s. I don't mean to bring up anything weird. But Roman, you do remember in the early 2000s, Auburn was top dog in Alabama.
I tell people all that time, I said, look, what I saw Auburn do and Hugh Freeze do this year in the recruiting trail, which is bring in multiple threats on the outside. The running back room at Auburn is going to be fine. They're good already. You already got plenty of talent there. But going and get Cam Coleman reminded me a lot of the year when Auburn went and got Anthony Mix, Ben Abumanu, Arama Shadu, and then Courtney Taylor. It just changed Auburn, like immediately. The results changed, and all of a sudden, these are players that Alabama was trying to recruit and trying to get, but all of a sudden, they start going and punching tickets and signing with Auburn. I think I feel a sense of that. I'm not going to give you that much Auburn that much yet. They still got to go out there and win it, and that kind of takes me and leads me into my next question, giving you a little bit more praise, but now the follow-up question is, do these new additions in the coaching staff, does this make this coaching staff – I'll just say it, better than last year's coaching staff?
I think so. When you add a guy like Charles Kelly, who's been in multiple big-time fights when it comes to recruiting, mm-hmm. and has the proof in the pudding when it comes to producing NFL talent, you look at a guy who's recruited and coached Jalen Ramsey, recruited and coached Derwin James when he was at Florida State, and Brian Branch last year. He had three guys last year who were drafted at Bama who actually played significant roles in the NFL. So when you go along those lines and you're saying, okay, do we have the proof of concept when it comes to being one of those schools that you can get the development at without having the previous first round picks under that logo? So you bring in coaches that have had it. Mm-hmm. You got DJ Durkin, who's been a head coach before, who had a great season last year as a defensive coordinator, who now is bringing that energy and letting people know we're going to be aggressive when it comes to go get the quarterback. You get a guy like Derek Nix, the new OC and running backs coach at Auburn, who's had previous success when it comes to recruiting guys who are able to, like, look at a guy like Quinshon Judkins, who's now at Ohio State, who was at Ole Miss. They were able to secure a guy like Zach Evans. So when you have guys that provide proof of concept, and it's not pie in the sky. Yep. It's something that you can go back and it's tangible and look at. And I think that makes a huge difference when it comes to getting buy-in from the players at Auburn.
Not only the buy-in, but buy-in from the recruits as well. I mean, you're hitting on it dead on. That's exactly why I asked that question. I want to hear that answer from you. One more question about the coach before we move on to the players. And that is, who calls the plays next year? Is it Hugh Freeze or is it Derek Nix, who you just mentioned?
I believe it'll be Hugh Freeze with some influence from Derek Nix, but it's absolutely going to be Hugh Freeze. Mm-hmm. I think last year you saw a blend of Tulsa's former offense yep. with Hugh Freeze's offense, which in theory seems like it would be like a perfect mix. But when you saw some of those games where you saw actual passing yardage stats that were under 150 yards, it's like, is that what you really need in order to continue to keep these guys, these highly rated guys, these wide receivers, which is probably the best wide receiver class in Auburn history. As you mentioned, the Courtney Taylors, the Ben Abamanus, the Darren Aramisudus of the world back then, that was like groundbreaking.
Yes, it was.
This class has the potential to be better. And when you look at a guy like Cam Coleman, you look at a guy like Perry Thompson, and I always compare those two guys to AJ Green and Julio Jones with their physical makeup. When you've got those guys, you add in a slot guy like Bryce Kane, you add in a superb athlete like Malcolm Simmons. When you add these guys, you have to provide proof of concept on the field. And I think Hugh Freeze has said, you know what, in order for me to keep these guys in school with the way the transfer portal is now, mm-hmm. I have to show that we can get vertical. And I think that he's going to take that onus on himself.
Yeah, I love that answer because we all saw it. Auburn was a mixed bag at times offensively, where some games they look great, but then other games you're like, what was that? Or even versus right. Alabama, where they had so much success running the ball, and where was that, right? So all right. of these things continue to happen. And then they had the bowl game. It was a disappointment. We're not going to harp on that. We're moving on. I like what I'm hearing about Auburn football going forward, and I'm sure some of the fans are like hearing what you're talking about, too. It's probably better than what they saw on the basketball court recently. So how about the offensive line? I want to talk about the players. The offensive line for Auburn, under the previous regime, probably was not highly recruited enough. This offensive line this year, how good can they be, and will they be a strength, not just a concern for this Auburn offense?
I think this is the first year in a long time where the offensive line will be a strength, and right. not only in the yes. run game, but also in the pass protection game. Mm-hmm. You look at a guy like Percy Lewis, the 6'8", 350-pound transfer who will be playing left tackle that came in from Mississippi State. He gives you the type of guy that can set the edge, and also when it gets to those fourth quarter tough situations, can just lean on you. Mm-hmm. When you look at what Alabama's been able to do, when you look at what Georgia's been able to do, when it came into tough situations, you didn't have to worry about getting the first down because you had the absolute girth in order to be successful. Now you start to add guys like that. You add him to a guy like Jeremiah Wright, a guy from Alabama who has a very, very mean, nasty streak at guard. You add him with a guy like Dylan Wade, who was a Tulsa transfer, had a ton of starts. They moved him to the inside now. You get a cerebral guy who I really feel like is a clone of Alex Mack, the All-Pro, which is Connor Liu, who was a last-minute addition to the class when Hugh Freeze got there, who was he was committed to Miami, flipped to Auburn, and he played a little bit last year. Well, actually, he played a good bit last year. And when you have guys like that who can now create synergy, they're playing together in spring, they're starting to get a feel for what each other's tendencies are, I think that it bodes very well for Auburn to be successful in the offensive line this year.
Well, Phillip Dukes, this is Roman Harper's NIL million-dollar question for you right now. Will Peyton Thorne be the starting quarterback for the Auburn Tigers at the end of next season?
1,000%.
Okay.
I feel like Auburn really, when you look at what Auburn was able to do in attracting recruits, in attracting transfer portal candidates, they had a choice to go get a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They made their decision to stay with Peyton Thorne based on the fact that they felt like if they added the proper talent around him, you would be able to see the Peyton Thorne of 2021 or 2020, actually. Peyton Thorne didn't come with a whole lot of hoopla, but when you looked at the film when he was at Michigan State, he was able to be on time. He was able to throw from the correct arm slots, and he knew where to go with the ball. With his second year in the offense, which I think is severely understated in college football with the amount of transition between offensive coordinators and their new schools, Peyton Thorne was he'll have an opportunity to actually really digest Hugh Freeze's offense. And now having those concepts that he saw last year, but being able to be coached by your head coach on what he wants, I think it'll make a huge difference and it'll pay dividends. And I think Peyton Thorne is absolutely your starter.
All right. All right, Phillip, one more question here. I'm going to get you up out of here, man. And that's going to be on the defensive side. I talked to a couple of my Auburn people. They have a little bit of concerns with the depth and ability of the defensive tackle position going into this season. And then also a question about the secondary. I know they bring in Jaron Thompson from the University of Texas, a former starter there, in the transfer portal. The secondary piece at Auburn, will it be the strength of this defense?
So to start with defensive line, I think you do have to go get someone out of the transfer portal in the spring. Mm-hmm. You just don't have the girth and ability that you had last year right now. There are some young guys that they're excited about, but I just don't think they're ready. But when it comes to that secondary, I'm very excited about what the secondary will provide. You've got, when you think about Thompson, who's going to provide some of that veteran leadership, you got a guy like Caleb Wooden, who came in as a safety. He played a lot last year. But then you got a guy like Terrence Love, 6'3", 215 pounds, runs a 4.4 40, and plays the field safety, not the boundary, but he can play all three. Then you add him to a guy like Kane Lee out of Cedar Grove High School. He started maybe three or four games last year. Very aggressive. Yeah, a bulldog on the perimeter. And I think that with the youth movement that they do have in the secondary, they will end up, maybe not at the start of the season,
yep,
but as they continue to get games as a unit, they will be the strength of that defense.
Hey, Phillip Dukes, very impressive young man. Appreciate that, man. And the gray and the beard, magnifico.
My
thank
God,
you,
man.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. More of your calls when we get back, man. That's Phillip Dukes with National Recruiting Reporter with On3. More of your calls when we return on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. In middle of the 5 o'clock hour, man, we're rolling along here. I'm going straight to the phone lines. I'm not wasting any time. And I'm talking to Susie in Georgia. Susie, how you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you so much for waiting patiently. Thank you so much.
Oh, I watch and listen to the show every day, so for 4 hours, regardless. So
okay.
I'll be patiently waiting. You look very dapper today.
Oh, thank you.
Your shirt. I love your shirt. You almost look clerical this Holy Week.
Well, thank you.
In that shirt.
Yeah, see, my friend celebrated Holi over the weekend. So, yes, really good times. All about just positive energy, yeah. Being winner. Winning is a thing. That is it. That's it.
Okay, before I ask your thoughts on something, did I miss something today? I've heard twice people say Alabama's the only one that went to the Sweet 16. My Tennessee team not count?
I think you misheard, if anything. That did not come out of me. Now, it's only two SEC teams remaining.
No, it didn't come out of you. It came out of two callers, not you. And I'm like, wait a minute.
No, Susie, you know this show well enough. Susie, you know this show well enough. You can't listen to the crazy Fine Bombers. You got to listen to the same right. Fine Bombers. And you are probably one of those. Tennessee is playing great ball right now. If anybody had a lock to at least make it to the Sweet 16, it was me picking Tennessee because of the point guard play. And you got a superstar in Dalton Connect that can go get a bucket at any point in time in three dribbles or less. So for me, that's important going forward. I really like Tennessee all the way to the Final Four.
I hope so. It was scary the other night, though. But we made it. It was blowing in a paper bag time. I wanted your thoughts. I was listening to SportsCenter and First Take today on Deion Sanders and talking about for his son, and I think it's Travis Hunter, that he wants to do the Eli.
The last part I couldn't hear you. The what now?
That he wants to do the Eli for them, like Eli Manning did.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you really control where you get drafted at. So Deion's been very vocal about he really doesn't want his son playing in, you know, going in these super cold weather places, and it affects how you play. I get it. Colorado's cold enough, but Colorado is cold in the fact that it just snows a lot. The weather and the temperature, they get more sunlight in Colorado than a lot of other states do all year long. So that's the one weird thing. It's just all about the elevation and not so much about the temperature. But if you have the ability to be able to do it, if you can do it, when you play quarterback, when you play these star positions and you're on top of the leaderboard, that gives you leverage that other people do not get. You look at a Marvin Harrison Jr. He's the first player I've ever seen that just like, you know what, I'm not going to work out. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to get measured. I'm not going to do anything but just show up and you should draft me because you already saw it on the tape. And if Shiloh Shadur has that type of season for Colorado this year, he has the father that can push the envelope and understand the same way that Archie Manning did for Eli to say, you know what, San Diego is not the situation I want my son to be involved with. So don't draft him. And if you do, draft him and trade him to somebody else like the New York Giants, where the family that we can trust that's going to take care of my son and put him in the best position to be successful. Successful. And if you can stack the deck to make your kid successful, Susie, why would you not?
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, no, I agree. I guess I just hadn't really heard this before.
Yeah.
And so it just took me back, you know, to say, because can you turn, if you get drafted, can you just say, I'm not going to go there and wait for, and still stay in the draft? I guess, you know.
Well, Susie. Sorry, go ahead and finish your point, and then I'll answer.
No, I just, I did finish it. I just don't understand if say last year, who went to the Panthers or
Bryce Young.
The Carolina Panthers?
Bryce Young.
Yeah.
So the difference with Bryce's situation is that Bryce had other great competition right there with him, and it was with Eli Manning as well. But Eli was still clear cut. Ahead of Ryan Leaf. Some people liked Ryan Leaf, but majority of experts said Eli was the better pro prospect. And the thing that Eli had that most do not have is a father with the name Archie Manning that has the background and the criteria that he had. And you know who has that same similar background? Shadur Sanders with his father. Yeah. Yes, Deion Sanders, that has the ear of every GM and every owner, and that when Deion speaks, he's genuinely and he's candid about exactly how he feels. He has has been prime time since day one, and this would be another operation. Susie, I can't wait to see it. I think it's a great question and a great thought process that many of us should actually talk to, listen to, and look forward to. Thank you, Susie, for your call. I'm going to get us to break, and next, coming up, we've been talking all about this basketball. I got my guy, Coach Wimp Sanderson, coming in on the show. Yes, he's my golf partner, and yes, the last time Alabama's went to the Sweet 16 in back-to-back years was the year 1990 and 91, and this was the head coach.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. It's 5:30. Man, this time's flying by. And I'm your host today on the Paul Feinbaum Show. First of all, I was just talking to Miss Susie just a second ago. And I said that with Eli Manning in the same draft class as Ryan Leaf, I was totally wrong, because that was Peyton Manning, his older brother, in the same draft class as Ryan Leaf. Eli Manning was in the same draft class as Phillip Rivers at San Diego, but who also had Drew Brees already there established. Shout out to Drew Brees. That's my dog right there. Shout out to Nine. All right, next on, our guest, Coach Wimp Sanders. Where you at, Coach?
I'm right here. How you?
I'm doing good, man.
How's your golf game?
You know, that's exactly what I was going to ask you to. So my
I've seen you play.
This is exactly where we go. And I'm just glad the shoe's on the other foot. I get to ask you questions now instead of you asking me questions. And yes, I do. My golf game's pretty good. I'm hitting it actually really good. I got to take bigger divots with some of my irons. My chipping has actually been pretty good. My putting is...
You don't need to take bigger divots. Your ball won't go as far. Don't try to hit bigger divots.
Not deeper, but just in front of the ball is where my divot needs to be. So I'm learning and trying to speak the golf language. I still got to get off the tee box a little bit better with my drive so I can consistently score. And I'm not playing for bogey. I'm actually playing to try and score.
Okay, well, good. Okay. I hear you. I'm glad to be on the show with you. Most of the time, I'm certain I'd be on the show for you because you're on my show a lot, and I appreciate that. And I know you don't know much about basketball, so I'll try to entertain you.
Thank you, Coach. All right, let's start back when you were coaching. The last time Alabama has been to the Sweet 16 in consecutive years, that was 90-91, I believe. Yeah. Could you take me back that far ago?
Well, we went to the 12 years I had the job. We went to the NCAA 10 times and went to the Final 16 six times. Unfortunately, I'm known as a coach that didn't get by that game. Mm-hmm. But we had great teams. Getting to the Final 16 is not easy. Mm-hmm. You've got to get good seating, good draws, which Alabama did this time. We had a two at one time, which was a good draw. We beat ourselves in that one, but sometimes you get the committees put you where they where you're not in don't like you as well. The matchups are not good. The teams are different for you, but we played awfully well. We had good teams. You have to understand that when you get in the NCAA tournament, it's not the NBA. It's one and done. If you don't get in there and play well, then you're 88 out the gate. The first thing I told my basketball team before every game, for all the 12 years I had the job in the NCAA tournament, those 10, is that tonight is the championship game. Mm. It's not Sunday afternoon. It's tonight. Mm. And if we don't play well tonight, then it won't be tomorrow. So I try to get that over to our kids, and I think for the most part that we did. We had some tough draws. You know, I held Michael Jordan to 13 points and got beat 5 by, I won't say what happened in that game, but We got beat. So anytime, there's not such thing as a bad win.
Yes.
If you win, you win. And you know, maybe you didn't play as well as you like to have played. Maybe your fans didn't like it. So what?
Yeah.
A win is a win. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the future. I think Alabama got a very good draw. Of course, most of you know Greg Byrne was on the committee, and I think he did a good job of doing what he could behind the scenes. where Clemson's playing Baylor to go to the Final 16. North Carolina is playing Michigan State, and A&M had to play Houston to go to the Final 16, and Colorado had to play Marquette. Alabama was fortunate enough to play Grand Canyon.
Yes.
And so it was quite a difference there. The Grand Canyon was I thought Alabama played harder defensively. They played with more in tune with the kind of defense you need to play to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say this in an ugly way. I'm just telling the truth. Is that Grand Canyon had very poor offense. Their best thing that they did was rebound on the offensive glass, but they. Right. They would drill drivers the whole time. There's no screens for Alabama to go over. So it was a situation where if you played hard and played well and kept the ball in front of you, you had a chance to have a good defensive game, and Alabama did.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Now, Coach, because everybody's talking about Alabama and the defensive effort that they showed in the second round.
I think effort was there, but I just
challenge wasn't there. I want to know about this, though, because I've never really thought about this, but how do you handle it as a coach when you're so excited, you make it past the first weekend, you go to the Sweet 16. When you go home, and you get everybody telling you how great you are, and then being able to focus back in and coming back and then try and compete to get to what the Final Four after that, if you win the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight. Like, how do you get guys to focus back in? So often we see teams play great that first weekend, come back the second weekend, and they just don't even look close to the same.
Well, you got to play hard. You got to understand that if you do play hard and you're a good player, you have a chance to win. And I think that's the biggest thing. I always say this to my players is mental is to physical, what 3 is to 1. And by that I mean if you're not mentally ready to play, you're not going to be very good physically.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to see your girlfriend, you're not going to really work really hard to see her. So you got to play, and you got to play hard, and you can't take anything for granted. The other team is it's like in football. The other team is as good or better than you are. They wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you try to convince them as best you possibly can. And we lost some close games. I guess the most disappointing time I had, you weren't even born, was Loyola Marymount. We got beat 2 points when they had been scoring 133 a game, but we got beaten. So I didn't play the game to lose by two. I played the way I thought was best to win, and we didn't. So we had a lot of good players on our team, and I'm happy to say that most of the time our players played hard. There might be times that sometimes they need to play harder, but they didn't. And so I think you look at your schedule and ready to go. And so I think Greg Byrne did a good job. I think Mark Sears was the difference, a lot of the difference in the games. He's so darn good. He shoots the basketball so well. I thought he really played on the defensive end yesterday. I thought he really got after it defensively and cut him down. This basketball team, I say that Alabama was pretty fortunate to get where they are. I think they were. I think the team they played prior to this, to the Grand Canyon game, was maybe a little bit more difficult because they did more things offensively. But I do think that when you go against North Carolina, and let me say it like this so people won't say that I said, sir, I think Alabama has a good chance in the game. Mm. That's all I'm going to say about it. I think North Carolina shoots it better. They'll set more screens. They're somewhat smarter, I think, than Grand Canyon was in what they try, when they try to do things. I just would say to you that I think they have a good chance in the game. We played Carolina when I was assistant coach in Dayton and won it big, and we played them when I was head coach at Alabama and won. Unfortunately, I lost my last game at Alabama against Carolina. So they've had good basketball tradition. They've got good players. They're having a good year. I think it's an opportunity for Alabama to move on. We'll see what happens.
All right, Coach. And I know you explained, you said they have a good chance. But why does Alabama have a good chance? Is it going to be because of their shooting? Is it going to be that they've all of a sudden found a little bit of defense? Or what will that, if Alabama wins, what will it be because?
I think Alabama's a very good shooting basketball team, and they've got more than one. I think their perimeter shooters are darn good. They shoot the basketball very well. They're not as good inside. Carolina is maybe probably better than Alabama is inside. But unless Carolina defends a three in the right way, then Alabama's going to score some. You can't take anything for granted. Alabama's going to shoot the basketball 35 times from three. And if you're not really ready to contest shots, by contesting shots, I mean get up in the face of your opponent and make it tough on them to shoot the basketball, then Alabama can kill you. So if they shoot the basketball well, if Carolina does not get to them and contest the shot, the first question I asked when I went to the dressing room after every game was, what did we do on contesting? Where were we trying to contest shots? So if you contest shots there, that's going to be big. I think Carolina will shoot some from the three. They got a point guard, doesn't shoot a lot. But rather than have one player that shoots the three well, I think there are several players on Alabama, and I think if they win the game, they will have done a really good job with the three. And Alabama would have played maybe a little bit better defensively and gotten over the screens and rebounded. The rebounding is big. You have to remember, in the four games that Alabama got beat pretty badly, with the Auburn games, two Tennessee games, those kind of games, people forget, they fuss about the defense, but they forget that they averaged 19 turnovers a game in those games. So when you average that many turnovers, you're going to give the other team the opportunity to get cheap baskets.
Yep.
You're not going to get anything at all yourself to match that up. And so I think that's the big thing. So they had a lot of turnovers in the game. Carolina's not going to press them, but sometimes Alabama has gone through periods of time where they have turned the ball over a lot. They have a very good basketball team. They're well coached. They know what they're doing. Their defense has not been as good as it needs to be. In some cases, the offense overcame the defense. So we'll see what happens there. But it should be a very intense. I really have felt like, but when I said that I thought they got a good draw, was that Iowa State might be as good as Carolina. They thought they might be a one. They were not. I thought Carolina might have been of the four top teams, maybe third or fourth. I think Connecticut's the best of the four that were selected number one. What you selected doesn't mean anything particularly. It said you might get a better draw, but you've got to go out and play on both ends of the court and not turn the basketball over and play hard and do as good a job as you possibly can and rebound the basketball without turnovers.
Okay. Well, Coach, man, thank you so much for getting us down to us. I would also just give you a little shout-out, something that I didn't know about you until I just learned a little bit earlier. You guys need to go check it out. It's called Plaid and Parquet, an autobiography by Wimp Sanderson, my guy and my golf partner, who's he's just getting older and more pretty and a little bit more bitter every single day.
There's no golf tips in there, but it's a good book. No. Great book. We had a lot of good players involved in helping me write that book as far as their playing was concerned, and I appreciate you mentioning that.
Oh, yeah, Coach, man. Anytime, man. You know how much you mean to me, man. Thank you so much for joining us
today
on the Paul Feinbaum Show, Coach. Good job. We're going to get us to break. More of your calls when we return on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. It is the SEC Inside Gymnastics Championship Edition, Tuesday, 10 Eastern on the SEC Network or streaming live on the ESPN app. So, for those that don't know, I'm not going to give it away, but one team won already, and it's LSU. So, anyways, back to the calls. That's what we're here for. I'm going to go with Brad from Macon, Georgia. What's good, Brad? How you doing, boss?
Wow. Didn't think I was ever going to get in because I'm a Georgia caller.
That's why I wanted to get there. I'm like, I got to be better about this. Brad, how you doing, man? What you got
for me? Wow. Well, I tell you what. The Paul Feinbaum Show is a quality show, and I'm just glad they got a quality replacement.
I will take that as a compliment. Thank you, Brad.
You should. You actually should. So on Bash's call earlier, Kareem Jackson, he's from Macon, Georgia. He's from my town.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And, yes, sir, his uncle actually lives right across the street from me. And the thing about Kareem is he's going home now. He's going home to Houston, where he started his career as a first-round draft pick, as a corner out of Alabama, who has transitioned into safety. And so Kareem comes home in the summer, and he does a lot of community work for us. And he is such a quality individual, Roman. And all you Alabama guys, we all know you can play. We all know that. But you guys are quality individuals.
Well, thank you, Brad, for that that compliment, man. And my only reply to that is that I think so often people look at football players and others and see that we all we do, they think that's all we do. But I tell anybody, the same thing I just talked about it when at my aunt's funeral recently is that us athletes represent so many others by the outside of just the name on our back. The people that where we're from, like Macon, Georgia, for Kareem, everybody's room for Kareem Jackson in that place. Where I'm from in Prattville, Alabama, growing up, they didn't even have Saints gear there. But when I go back to there and I look at the Dick's Sporting Goods or I go to a certain Target or wherever, it's New Orleans Saints stuff up there. And that's because everybody there was rooting for me. And so you just got to understand that as athletes, so many people are living through you. And it's just an honor and a blessing, man, to be able to do that. And it's just really, really cool. So thank you, man. Shout out to Kareem, man, going back home to Houston where he was originally drafted. Great dude, great player. I know him personally. And all he's done is ball, especially in the transition from corner to safety. All right, we're going to go with, let's go with right here. Who is this? From Mobile. I couldn't say. Jay from Mobile. I couldn't see the whole thing. Thank you.
Roll Tide, Roman. My call.
Yes, you're welcome.
I used to love to watch you play for the Saints and for Bama. I put you right up there in the same group with Ronnie Lott and Deion Sanders and Bill Bates. You remember Bill Bates?
I do remember
played
Bill Bates. Number 40 for the Cowboys. I do know him.
Yeah, he was a beast. Anyway, Roman, I got a story for you. It's probably been about 7-8 years ago, but I had a friend of mine that actually house sat for your brother. Your brother was gone to try to get another coaching job. But my two questions, what I thought was real cool is he had memorabilia of you all over the house. I mean, trophies and rings, and just seemed like I just thought that was pretty cool to know y'all are that close.
Well, Jay, yeah, man, we are extremely close. And the thing about it is I just don't put all the value in that maybe others do. So it's the same way I just talked about with how many people you represent that share your last name. And then outside of that as well, it's like if you're going to take better care of it than I will, I'm going to give it to you because it's going to mean more to you than it does to me. So I really don't keep up with my stats and all those other trophies.
That's awesome. Well, one question I got for you, is your brother still coaching? And which team if he is?
He is no longer coaching, Jay. Thanks so much for asking. My brother, Brian, he's probably listening right now. Whoever knows. But he's living in Atlanta right now, and he is moving around. He's doing some preaching. He's on a radio show with a podcast with oh, my gosh. It's going to slip my mind right now. Why is that doing that? But anyways, he's doing a podcast and some other things. So with DC Curry, I apologize. So, so you can look those guys up, man. And at the end of the day, I appreciate it because I'm able to give and do these other things and really just give it all away. So it's an honor. It's a pleasure. More when we come back, more of your calls. We also have Jason Marshall Jr., starting cornerback for the Florida Gators.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.